Well, good morning and happy Thursday. And that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Thanks so much for joining in, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the proceedings via phone, email, and the other multitudinous forms of communication we have available to us in this magnificent modern era. 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance from you to us, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and you may tweet us at WFSU Perspective. You know, despite all the talk we hear about how polarized today's society is, division and demonization and all those other horrible things are by no means a new phenomenon in the human experience, because since time immemorial, one of the most effective remedies for promoting understanding and empathy and all that is to imagine yourself as someone else, as Native Americans say, to envision yourself in someone else's moccasins. But as simple as that sounds, the execution of the concept can be a really difficult exercise. So this morning on Perspectives, we're going to be talking about a program to bring the plight of those targeted in the Holocaust, certainly one of the most horrific chapters in the history of the world, but to bring that to life for Leon County Public School students, not as a negative, but as a way to build on a chance to reduce negative behavior such as bullying and the us versus them thing that we get into, particularly when we have all those peer groups that we're going through in the scholastic environment, and a lot of other things too. This is a program that is unique and is getting underway and is also in search of the resources to make that happen. And we're going to get into all of that this morning right here on Perspectives. So let's say hi to the folks who are joining us around this beautiful circular table that we have, which is complete with microphones and headphones and such. Let's say hi to Dave Gussick, a registered board certified art therapist, chair of the Florida State University's Department of Art Education, and professor of the Graduate Art Therapy Program, and a guy who really knows how to wield a painting knife, for sure.
Knife, perhaps, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure.
With or without paint on it. Dave, thanks for joining us here, and we want to find out what the visual artistic component of this whole situation is. And if you have ever heard of an organization called VJ's Party House, you know the lady who also is here with us this morning. That is Mimi Shaw, independent entertainer, a proud FSU alum, also an editor, and an overall creative human being and everything else. And you were very pivotal in this whole project, Mimi, of pulling all this together from the words of this project, as well as the picture aspect of it too.
Right? That's right, absolutely.
Well, how did this thing happen? This whole two regimes project. How did this get underway?
Well, I am the daughter of a World War II Army private who was one of seven that liberated Buchenwald. He was Patton's radio operator. He was trained at MIT. He was one of the highest forms of technology in his day. So all through my childhood in New York, you know, he would tell me the stories of what happened and what they went through. He actually, before he passed away, was able to write his memoir, which is called Dig and Dig Deep by A.R. Arnold. So that's always been a big part of my life. And we have a quick sketch artist by the name of Cornelius, who is really very much like a highwayman and lives outside of the Monticello area. And he called me one day and said, "You're not going to believe this, but there are a number of paintings in the dirt under a house. There's an estate sale going on. And, you know, I know that this is a topic that's very important to you. And I think they're Holocaust paintings. And do you want to see them?" And I said, "Of course." So he didn't have a car, and this was way out in the woods. And so sure enough, underneath the house were a number of artifacts that had been there for many, many, many years. And as I started to look through this dirt, termite-eaten stuff, I came to realize that what I was looking at was something I really didn't understand what I was looking at. And over a series of about a month, I kept going back and I kept trying to find money and resources to try to salvage what ended up becoming this collection.
Who did the paintings?
The paintings are done by Nadia Rybitsky, and she is a well-noted artist from Russia. And she spent her entire lifetime. She studied at Cologne and Dusseldorf, and she had survived internment. She was not Jewish. She had survived internment under Stalin and Hitler, and her mother had actually saved these notes of what were happening to them for 6 years and hid them. And so the book, Two Regimes, A Mother's Memoir of Wartime Survival, is actually a manuscript that is written by Teodora Verbitskaya. And the paintings were painted decades apart by her daughter, Nadia Rybitsky.
And how in the name of all that's beautiful did they get from there to here?
That's a long story. That's another story. It really is another story. We don't have a long enough show probably to
Dave Gussick,
to go there.
We have, and we will have visuals here, guys, because we always put up perspectives on WFSU.org. We have some of the reproductions of the paintings with us, and we will have those as part of our pictorial when you click on to the perspectives page on WFSU.org to see some of these remarkable things. But Dave Gussick, from the view of these paintings, these are significant artworks. These are not just little one-off sketches and a few cute little watercolors. This is heavy-duty stuff.
It's an amazing portfolio. You know, it's funny because I've seen them all in different lights. I remember back in, I think it was around 2003, 2004, I was involved with the Florida State University Holocaust Institute for Educators, and I specialize in speaking about the art of the Holocaust. And I had done a keynote address in 2004. And Barbara Goldstein, who's a major figure in our community in regards to Holocaust education, attended that. And she contacted me shortly after and indicated that one of her friends, Mimi Shaw, has a collection of these art pieces that are likely pieces that of somebody who had survived the Holocaust. And of course, I was fascinated with this notion, and I met with Mimi and Barbara at Hopkins, I believe, off of Monroe.
Yeah.
And Mimi had a slew of these paintings that were just almost freshly dug up. I mean, many of them were torn, many of them were in rough shape, but the beauty and the color and the tragedy, you know, poured through these images. It was an amazing array of both the love of the story and the remembrance, the heartache and the destitution that she experienced through this. And it astounded me that these were paintings that were done a couple of decades after after her experiences. I was used to paintings as evidence and resistance during the Holocaust. I had studied a lot of the work that came out of that as a passion. So to see the paintings that were still reminiscent of it but done later, almost through the filter of time and still so powerful, it's almost like she had to work through her own experiences doing these paintings, and they're amazing. And now, you know, only unfortunately there's not as much money as there needs to be to really make this work, but there's only about 36 of the 150 or so paintings that have been refinished, but those 36 are just dazzling.
And like I said, we have the reproductions of them here, and we will have that up so you folks can see them for yourself when we put them up on WFSU.org. So we have these remarkable images. We have a manuscript reminiscences of some people who survived this horrific event, and suddenly we get the Foundation for Leon Schools involved because Sheila Costigan, who is executive director of that, has just joined us here. How did you guys get pulled into all this, Sheila, and what's the connection?
Mimi connects everybody. That's what it's about. Same thing. She approached us, and we saw this artwork, and I've always had a passion, as you know, Tom. I've taught the Holocaust for 20 years when I was teaching in Leon Public Schools. Like Dave said, Barbara Goldstein has been in the HERC committee, and that group have been paramounting, making sure that we continue to teach this. It's a Florida mandate that it's been to be taught. And so when Mimi showed this to us, it was a perfect fit. The sad part is we just can't find enough funding. So we're hopeful that the community will come alive with this and realize the beauty and the history and the tragedy. And the reason we want these in schools is to make sure this stays alive. This was National Anti-Bullying Month. And what better way to teach tolerance is to teach one of the most horrible episodes of history and the whole genocide, not only what happened in Europe, but all over the world. And that's why we became involved, because we fund programs that aren't funded by tax dollars.
Yeah. And, of course, we're teeing up now all of the budgetary requests that are going in before the legislature with their early session that is now January and February of 2016, because they move it up on election years. Don't know why that happens, but we'll have to dig into that a little bit further for sure. But to see if there's any possibility that that could be part of at least a state allocation in support of this, right?
Well, the thing is, we've gotten some state dollars, you know, through the cultural arts. The money is tied everywhere, and there's a lot to spend it on. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to have to do is get people who believe in this, who believe that teaching tolerance is imperative and important, and what better way to do it with this vivid imagery and this beautiful story, as tragic as it is, what better way to do it with the real live people here to do it?
I want to relay a story, and perhaps Mimi doesn't want me to say this, but before I came in here, Mimi and I were talking about some of the work that Kelly Bowen is doing, who's majorly instrumental in all of this work, and I was aghast to find out that Kelly is paying $5,000 out of her own pocket to carry this program forward to, I believe, Las Vegas.
To a collegiate level.
And it's, you know, we believe in this, and we believe in this, and we want to do this, and we take our own time, and we take our own money to do this, but for Kelly to put as much work and his time into this and then money from her own pocket to fund this, because she believes in getting this message out to educators and making sure the educators use this art, because what better way to connect with the children than to use the art as the bridge?
She was just awarded at the Miami Holocaust Education Program mm-hmm. that's instituted by the governor down there. But she was just given volunteer for the state of Florida for Holocaust education.
That's right. I saw that come out of the governor's office just the other day. 414-1234, talking about the Two Regimes Initiative and what that entails here in Leon County and also to the wider world, these remarkable images and documents that have come out of the Holocaust and live to inform us and enlighten us even today. 800-926-8809, perspectives at WFSU.org. We shall be right back. We are back on Perspectives, and so glad you could join us by phone and email and all those other good things as we discuss the Two Regimes Initiative, as we have Dave Gussick and Mimi Shaw and Sheila Costigan here with us to talk about what these images and these documents mean and how they may impart more wisdom and perhaps even better behavioral aspects to some of the kids here in Leon County. Oh, Mimi Shaw, I mean, we could come up with these, you know, stark, horrific black and white photographs from the liberation of the concentration camps and throw them in front of the kids and say, see how nasty people can be. Now you guys straighten right. This goes beyond that.
Though. It does. It truly does. And it's taken quite a long time and a lot of educators to come together on how best can we take this resource that is not only a Tallahassee resource, but it's a state resource, and we have a national resource. There is no other collection like this in the world. And a lot of it does take place in the Ukraine and Mariupol, which is right now where so many world eyes are focused. We have an opportunity here, and these educators have come together. Many of them are local teachers saying, I'm a history teacher. I would love to make these lesson plans. I'm a drama teacher. I would love to see the collaboration of the art and the manuscript. And a lot of what she painted was the heart and the soul of Russia and the people of Russia and the people that were caught up in this conflict from all walks of life, because the collateral damage of war is everybody. And that's what she painted, and that's what she experienced as a non-Jew. And as you read some of this, in a situation where her children were friends with Jews, the pictures – that you see, they're carrying their violin cases, their books. These people were a community of people, and they loved one another. And she has faces and names to these people. And for me personally, when this happened to me, I could not understand why. And then when I read the manuscript was translated, I have family that is Halperin in New York, and some of her best friends were Halperin, and I'm like, maybe these are my family. And everybody, everywhere it goes, people are touched by this because they feel a connection to this.
Let's go to the phones here. Jack awaits patiently on line one to add to the conversation. Good morning, Jack. Welcome to Perspectives.
Well, good morning. I am so thrilled that you're featuring these three wonderful advocates on this project. I'm walking in a parking lot, and it's raining, so I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, you're coming in great, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, as an advocate, I must tell you that one of the great gifts we've been given is learning our past so we can plan our future. And since we're the only species that can do that, I think we need to unwrap those gifts every day. And obviously, this wonderful project showing us the past so we can plan our future is so essential. So many of our young people just simply don't know our history. And as a child of immigrants, I feel also this connection that Mimi just spoke about the escape and the rebirth that is the story of this country. So I'm a supporter, I'm a fan, and I think everybody needs to find out how to get on a website so that we can support this fabulous effort.
Well, that is a great segue. What website should we immediately jump on to find out more about it? Sheila?
Go to Foundation for Leon County Schools and hit the Invest Now and look for the Two Regimes tab and give away.
All right. Well, it's certainly – of course, it's a giving week. This is also Match Week, of course, that's going on around. I'm not sure if this is subject to that or not, but even just as a standalone type of fundraising project, it is something that, again, Tallahassee now can share with the world.
And we were very excited when the National Infantry Museum invited this collection to be there for a month with the Cold War exhibition. We are just very – we're blessed. We really are blessed with something that we can share to help educate our kids and to have the original art that could go into the galleries while the G-clays go into the schools and to have the teachers. It just left raw. In fact, it's out there in the parking lot. The G-clays are. And to hear the media specialist and the history teachers tell me what a profound impact it made on social, emotional level for these kids is over the top.
Well, as an art educator, Dave, I mean, you know that, you know, kids will look at a Chagall or a Picasso or something and go, oh, yeah, right, okay, we've seen it a million times before. This stuff seems to operate on a different plane than that.
Let me tell a story, and I've told this story before, and it's one of my personal favorite stories about my own experience with this. Now, you have to understand, I mean, when the TV series, miniseries, remember the miniseries Holocaust mm-hmm. came out? And I was, let's see, this came out in 77, so I was -8 years old when it came out. And I remember watching this miniseries, and the one character in this miniseries that really sang to me was the James Wood character. He was the most meek, he was the most passive, but he was the artist. And he took the biggest risk, and he made sure there was evidence that would last much longer after he was gone. In his last dying breath, he took a piece of coal out of that fire, and he sketched this wonderful, horrific image of his experience just before he died. He had to get that out, and it was so important as a person who – one of the few ways I could express myself as a child was through art, how important that was and how – he was the only figure I could really connect with. Well, flash forward a number of years, and I've been involved a great deal with the art of violent and aggressive people, and that's been my work. But my passion always was the art that emerged out of the Holocaust. And up until 2003, 2004, it was always academic to me. And then I went to Theresienstadt. And Terezin or Theresienstadt was the paradise ghetto where they housed a lot of the diplomats, the well-off people, but they housed all the artists. And this was the showcase ghetto of the Nazi regime, and they would use this to march the Red Cross through to show them that the Jews were well taken care of. Now, okay, why the Red Cross would be okay with, you know, forcing all these Jewish people into this one small walled city is beyond the pale, but it would fool the Red Cross. So you housed all these artists. You housed Unger. You housed Fleischmann and Fritte and Haas, who were these wonderful artists who were passive, genteel people. But they would do artwork of what they experienced. And they knew that if they were ever caught, they would be shot. Their hands would be broken. Unger, who was the most passive, quiet fellow, had his hands just destroyed after they found his artwork. But there was a art educator, Frickle Brandeis, who was she was wonderful. Most people would come to Theresienstadt with baggages filled with clothes and their gold and silver, and she came with bags filled with art supplies. And she took it upon herself to keep the children busy, to keep them focused on art, keep them off the street, and let them do the art. And I remember I went to Theresienstadt, and I was on this tour. And while the tour was going up one flight of stairs, I saw to the left this huge cavernous room with these white pillars in there. And while they went up there, I took this detour and I went into this room. And on these pillars were these drawings, these 8x10 drawings done by children. And they had stray marks, eraser marks, stray crayon lines that would not only demonstrate their love for family and the outside scenery, but they would witness what they experienced. They would show the lines. They would show the gallows. And what killed me, what really hit it home for me, was that these were the art pieces that our own children do, that we see coming out of our own schools. But next to each plaque would be the name of the child, the year they were born, and then the year they were deported to Auschwitz, and when they were killed. And so long, and you just sat there and you just cried because these were our children. Nothing connects more to our own children than the artwork done by children, because they see it and they recognize it as their own. They may not understand the words. They may not understand the manuscripts. They can't understand the black and white atrocious photos, but they recognize those stray lines on the piece of paper. And when I came back with that, that's when I realized how important the artwork that came out of this.
Yeah, I've heard it called an emotional USB cable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just a direct connection from one child to another. And we look at these pictures, and I remember when I was teaching art, kids who could not put a sentence together could do some of the, in many cases, some of the most profoundly moving and powerful images. And they were incredibly sophisticated. Not the artwork. No, it was still children's art. But the emotions behind it were just
genuine.
You know, would just knock you on the floor. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Bill's hanging on line, too. Thank you for waiting, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you very much. I just want to emphasize how important this program is, especially for the African-American students in Leon County schools, because they are, in fact, still in the process of trying to survive a Holocaust. And it is so important, as the previous callers said, that we know our history. And most African-Americans do not know the history of the Holocaust in this country. There's a book called 100 Years of Lynching. The actual university, Florida A&M University, is a physical representation of the Holocaust of the Jim Crow era, and should be visited probably by all African-American students, and indeed all students of Leon County, so that they can understand what Holocaust took place in this country. And the great migration that that occurred as a result of the terrorism and murder, mass murder, and mass incarceration of their ancestors. And I thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate the input and the call. And, of course, the parallels are inescapable when it comes to the universality of inhumanity and human suffering, but also some of the great artwork that came out of the diaspora in this country, too, with the migration of former slaves to the industrialized North. And, you know, we think of what happened in Memphis and Southside Chicago and all that, just when it comes to music and all, and some of the great art that came out of that as well.
Many of Nadia's paintings, and I don't know, you would know, David, but many of them have the Black Madonna in her paintings. And I don't know the significance of that, but perhaps, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not an art historian, but I think several – and actually Tom and I were talking about this a little earlier, the reminiscent of the Madonna and Child paintings throughout a lot of the pieces. I think it sings to a lot of us about the nurturance and the love between the mother and a child. And, of course, it transcends our relationships, but it certainly indicates sacrifice and love and – it's a very moving painting. The one that I remember that's specifically in the catalog is a very moving piece.
Well, the one reproduction there, Dave, right over your left shoulder, yes. There, I'm looking at another mother and child image where the child's eyes are luminous, hopeful, alive with promise. The mother's eyes are exactly the opposite. The hurt and the pain and the expectation perhaps of that child's death are palpable. And it, again, these are images that you don't have to worry about, oh, it will freak out the kids. The power is in the subtlety, is in the reserve of these images. They're not bloody. They're not gory. It's not what we would think of as, oh, out of the Holocaust, it must be horrible, broken bodies and terrible, terrible things. Mm-hmm. It's not, but it's far more, I think.
Very beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, you can see them at tworegimes.com as well. You can see those that we have been able to get restored as opposed to those that still have 60 years of debris on them.
And there's someone here in town who actually does that restoration,
there is,
right?
There are a lot of educators and people who have participated, but there's one gentleman that is just an angel. And his wife is just retired as a history teacher at NIMS, and she is very involved in this project. And Michael Hall, he does dragon miniatures, has restored Picasso. And years ago, we went to him and we're like, we have no idea how we're going to pay you to do this. but anybody who experiences this work, it just lives it within you. And he said, we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to do this. And he started restoring these, getting them ready for certain exhibitions for the Infantry Museum, for Lemoyne, and the many places that it has been here locally. This collection was really not seen outside of Europe except for the time that has been here and the University of Virginia and Maryland. And that's pretty much it. We have something to share with the rest of the state and the rest of the country and the rest of the world.
Boy, that's for sure. Sheila Kosigan, how do you build a curriculum around this?
Well, though? Mimi and Kelly have done that. They've gotten teachers on board. Our fourth grade teachers and eighth grade teachers have come together to build this curriculum. But and it's powerful. And what David and Mimi are saying about being connected to history, it's so hard as a teacher. You're teaching history. It's dry. It's ugly. It's miserable. And you sometimes just want to make sure that kids understand that that man's hope is inexhaustible and it's unquenchable. And we do find beauty amidst all of this horror. And sometimes the kids connect more to that and they remember that more than anything. We would bring survivors. You know, every time I taught the Holocaust, we would bring in the primary resource for all the research papers. You know, how do you find that? How can you connect to that? And we would bring in guest speakers. And you would bring in people from the killing fields of Cambodia who survived that horror. And those kids would be so moved because they were connected. It wasn't just a history text. It wasn't just the black and white. It wasn't the connectivity. It was the connection. And that's why I'm so moved personally about this and so passionate about this. We have a chance to see, as Mimi said, first-time real stuff right here. being done by all of us together as a community. And we should all circle the wagons and take great pride in this. And every educator in town needs to see this collection. And I'm disappointed that more schools haven't found time to do this and take advantage of Mimi's puppet show that she's put together with these quality actors and actresses who are able to convey the importance of tolerance and help us teach each other to be human to each other and to be kind to each other and what we're capable of. That's the scary piece. And so the art does that.
Yeah, and this was such an incremental situation, which I think kids can also relate to, that it wasn't that these horrible, terrible people just suddenly sprung up from the ground. This was an incremental, by degree, evil that took in more and more good people as time went on.
That's right.
And all of us are capable of this horror. That's the other scary part. And I think kids understand that too. If anyone knows cruelty, it's little kids.
Right. And use art and music as your medium. Use art as a way to express yourself. And sometimes kids who have problems and who are challenged need that more than anyone. And that's what we cannot let art leave our education.
And it's really fascinating because this was field tested in Miami, and we have 700 responses from high school students as well as the elementary kids here. And they are sending in their responses in art.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a truism, but it is because it's true. You know, if we forget the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And we know this. We've heard this. We need to continue to educate ourselves. But we're getting older, and we're losing the people that were the witnesses. You know, we're losing we don't have the people anymore who can remind us of what happened. But the art will outlive everyone and will outlive everything. And as long as we continue to show the art, we see them embodied in the pieces, and that's how we connect to them.
Connect with us here on Perspectives at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, the Two Regimes Project, and the ramifications of what that could mean for our education system right here in Leon County. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that aforementioned website, click on Radio, pull down the Programs menu, and click up Perspectives. And we try to have the shows on within a couple hours after the actual broadcast itself. And as I mentioned earlier, since we have some phenomenally powerful images here from this project, we will have some of those up there as soon as we Lydell takes our picture here at the conclusion of the program. We all get to hold a photo or of a reproduction of one of the paintings here from that collection. So everyone's grabbing the ones that they want right now. Well, Sheila Costigan, let's talk about that, though. This is mandated, a Holocaust curriculum as part of the school system in Florida by the legislature. They say, you got to do this. And so we can start at grade one or even pre-K, right?
You can. But the situation is that most often in public schools, it's not until the 10th grade that it's actually taught. And so what can happen, and we have some middle schools, fortunately, in Leon County, some astute teachers and educators who understand the importance of starting young. You know, by the time, if you wait until students are in 10th grade to teach them about man's inhumanity to man and intolerance and accepting each other's frailties and challenges, then bad characteristics are already embedded in that kid. You know, we have to start young teaching these kids. They need good moral compasses. They need to be learning early that bad things happen to good people, and good people can do bad things.
Yeah, well, even as part of the Family First project that's been going on all this week, yesterday at Tallahassee City Hall, you had Amy Weatherly from the Florida State University College of Medicine talking about, okay, you want to start getting kids developed properly, you better start at 9 months. I mean, mm-hmm. And we're going, these are little kids. How in the world do you do? They learn. They absorb all of these inputs are coming in. And as parents and as educators, there's a responsibility to make sure that those are, you know, the most valuable inputs that are possible to pass along.
And let them express themselves. And that's what art does. I mean, I think about these kids playing on these virtual, violent, terrible games that you see. And you think, yeah, why virtual reality? What does that mean? When we have real stuff here that we can use. These kids are moved, like Mimi says. You should hear the thank you cards. That mm-hmm. They've never been more moved. And when I taught the Holocaust, those kids were touched to tears. They got it. Because we were reading firsthand accounts, real accounts of people, and seeing real artwork mm-hmm. from people, and gave them hope to know that. And that's what I think Mimi did. So I love the way she teaches, because that's what she teaches. It's not the horror of it all, but let art help you heal, and let it take you and transform you. And most of all, as David says, tell the story.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's what a better way to empower the powerless. You know, the art gives them that ability to do so and to be able to teach children. I mean, who's more powerless than the children that we have? And they respond in different ways. And for them to realize that they have a voice through the art and be able to communicate through it and be accepted and validated through their art, what a gift.
And it transcends all races and religions and ages. And everybody understands a piece of artwork that's meaningful, beautiful, and tells a story.
We're going to add to the conversation here via Hugh, who is checking in with us right now on Perspectives. Hi, Hugh. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. First, Mr. Flanagan, I'd like to just say to you, you're one of the most creative and confident and trustworthy voices in broadcast
journalism. Hear,
hear.
Indeed.
I'm so
Absolutely.
Glad that you're a part of all this. Second, there are two resources. I work with Jewish communities all the time as a pastor and a chaplain, and I have been asked to do presentations on Holocaust, and while one of the resources is not an art one, but there is a wonderful children's book entitled I Never Saw Another Butterfly, which is children's art out of Theresienstadt. But then the second thing I would commend to you is a DVD that came out of Whitwell, Tennessee, where in a community that had very little diversity, they wanted to teach their kids about what can happen when there are people unlike you that you confront. And so they started this project called Paper Clips, and they collected 6 million paper clips to give them some idea of what it meant to lose 6 million people. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's available anywhere. And I urge, perhaps, if y'all do not know this, to perhaps get it and use it at least as a secondary resource in your project.
That is remarkable. You, having been born and raised in a small town, I know the kind of xenophobia that can be just part of this is the way you grow up. Well, I know everyone in town, but as soon as the stranger comes, yeah, I mean, it's circle the wagons and look out, you know?
Yeah, I've been that stranger.
One point, Tom. Is that a German couple who were in Washington as journalists heard about the project. They went to Germany and got the German government to give them a cattle car that had been used to transport the Jews to Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And it sits welded to a small section of track with these 6 million paper clips stored there, and has become a regional museum and as a resource to help people understand the dimensions of the Holocaust.
Oh, my golly. I'm just visualizing that image now. I will, as soon as this program is over, Hugh, I will jump online and I will find that. That is remarkable.
My mother-in-law sent that to
okay.
me.
She, thank you so much.
Thank you, Hugh, and I really appreciate the kind thoughts. I'm just intrigued with the ability of this exhibit, these words, these images, to change the discussion in the way that we get along with each other, and particularly through the school system, Sheila, like you said, to take the young people who are fighting some pretty powerful instincts when it comes to the herd mentality and the us versus them divide and that kind of thing, and breaking that down and coming up with an alternative.
Right. Right, and that's just it. And I can't get over how people are just keep using the word connected, you know, and the emotional connection and the emotional release that our kids need. I mean, they're all connected to everything but art, and connected to everything but their feelings, and connected to everything but history. They want to escape all of that all the time, and we've got to teach them to embrace it and take part in it and become a part of it and become a part of history. And that's what art does. I just can't say enough about how special this collection is and about how essential it is that we keep it here as long as we can and that the rest of the state enjoy it and reap the benefits that some of these educators and people like Mimi and Kelly Bowen have done.
Well, their work isn't over yet. You guys still have another document you're working on,
too. We do. We have that, too. Going back a little bit about the moccasins that you were talking about. The thing that's really cool about this is that you know, at the elementary school, we approached this K through 5 and wrote an original musical puppet production, which, thanks to WTXL, was done professionally. There are cartoons from the characters in that are animated by them. And that now is a resource that is going to be free to all educators everywhere to help them with that. In the middle school, we are taking the G-Clays to the school. They're going into the media centers. The students can – it's tactile. They can see them. They can actually touch them. And there are excerpts from the manuscript, and there are URL codes that Kelly came up with. And let me tell you how pioneer that is. We were actually contacted by the secretary of the VA. Mr. McDonald had his education specialist contact us and ask us, how do the URL codes work with the exhibition of the paintings? And how does this relationship work with the Foundation for Leon County Schools? There's nothing that is more awesome than to be able to ask by our national government that we are doing something that is pioneer and that they are looking at replicating. And they are also looking at all of these new national grave sites and cemeteries as being learning institutions as well. Not only are you going there to honor the fallen, but you will learn there as well. So this relationship with Foundation for Leon County Schools is something very important. And in the middle and high school level, we're bringing in educators like Dr. Gusak. We're bringing in educators like Dr. Jonathan Grant. We're bringing in restoration artists. We're bringing in the art. We can exhibit the originals at the museums and the galleries for families to come and see, what are these kids learning? And in a time right now when we have so much war and craziness and terrorism, I can't think of anything more important right now than teaching this type of curriculum and coming up with new and exciting ways to do it and collaborating with our schools to do it.
Okay, and Dave Gusak over at Florida State University, you are educating a whole new generation of educators who will be going out into the schools that also will have the access to these sorts of resources to bring to their task.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was part of the FSU Institute for the Holocaust Institute for Educators. I haven't been part of that for several years as the grant for that had gotten smaller, and so they really limited the scope of that. But for about 10 years, we were really educating the educators themselves on how to use this information and resources for their classrooms. As a professor of art therapy and art education, certainly we do educate on the value of the art and how we use that art as the bridge and to be able to communicate with it. And part of my narrations and stories about the value of it includes these types of experiences and whatnot, and the students take that back with them.
You know, because it's not just about, okay, well, how do you blend the colors on the palette or
how
you use different types of media when you're in sculpture, but it's what are the emotions, what are the human motivations that are behind all of these artistic expressions?
We use art as a means of therapy. We use it as a means of sublimating various emotional and cognitive impulses, and we understand what art can do for a person's well-being in dealing with mental illness, but as well as heightening one's wellness. And, you know, one of the things that I advocate for, which is paradoxically what Sheila was talking about, is that art does allow us to escape. You know, how many times do you know this? How many times have you done a painting and you look up from the clock and realize 8 hours have just passed by? And what a wonderful way for us to get lost in this process. So it's paradoxical in that, you know, we want to make sure that our children are connected, but at the same time, they can use the art to help escape and help express themselves in manners that are a lot more socially productive.
Mm. Just a moment ago, someone mentioned resources and having the ability to get this program out. Since we are now eagerly awaiting what the fallout might or might not be from the Florida legislature when it comes to education funding and how that falls out, that does not preclude the ability of someone just to dig into their pocket and, hey, look, I got a 20. Can I help? So what we do, Sheila?
Yes, you go to the Foundation for Leon County Schools website, and there's a little click on Invest Now, and you look for the Two Regimes tab. Click on that, and please give away. Give some money to us. And you're right. Every dollar counts because it's expensive to restore these. It's expensive to transport them. I can't imagine how many thousands Mimi has spent just in transportation and not to mention a massage every once in a while from carrying these heavy things around.
The really exciting thing, too, is that this is a very stringent process to get these legislative grants. It's a panel of educators and professionals in the cultural resources community that judge these. And I know you were sitting in listening to that judging. We just submitted 2016, 2017. This grant and the importance of this grant placed sixth out of 20 that were accepted in the state of Florida. It is going back again before the legislature. This is a five-year program to appropriately develop and continue this work. And we're very excited that it's happening here with the Foundation for Leon County Schools, and we really need your help.
Yeah, but it's using a historic resource.
Yes.
These images do not exist anywhere else.
Nowhere
in
else.
The world.
That's right.
And still more to come. Any thoughts? Are we looking at comparable quality for the images that are yet to be restored, maybe?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's incredible, these images. The beauty of many of them, remember, they are about the spirit of the people, the spirit of the country, and they are so moving. They're just amazing. And you can see many of them at tworegimes.com or on the Foundation for Leon County Schools. There is a subsequent manuscript that has not been translated yet that needs that. It's truly amazing what was in rural Florida and that we have here to develop for everyone.
Hidden in a crawl space under a house in the heat with the bugs and the moisture and all this.
And the dirt.
Yeah. How did these things even survive?
It's amazing. Some things are just a providence.
It's part of the miracle.
They were meant to.
Yeah, they must have been. And the fact that they were able to be restored to the glory that we see here with these reproductions right now is just beyond belief.
And you know the expense of education resources, David knows for sure, how much college textbooks cost and everything. And here we are developing free resources for the entire state for every educator to use during the teaching of this Holocaust unit and beyond. And so we're looking at this valuable resource. And as Mimi said, I just can't imagine us not being able to get the money to fund it fully. And yet it's very difficult. It's a difficult time to raise money for art. People are not connected again. They just see it as something beautiful. And it's kind of like NPR. It's kind of like the way we all do the Pledge-a-thon. People just think this stuff happens free, that people will continue to do this, and I can just take advantage of it and never pay a dime.
Yeah,
I can listen to you every day.
Part of the nice to have, but not essential.
Exactly. And yet it is the most essential part of our being.
Josephine has given us a call. We want to make sure we can get to her before we close out. Nope. Okay. All right. But we will go on and tell folks about, again, what we can do as far as plugging into the program, the various websites, just in case you are a late joiner. And that is okay. It is a very, very busy time. The legislature is still trying to come up with senatorial maps and a few other odds and ends down there at the Capitol. And people are having car wrecks, right, Sheila?
No, yeah.
All kinds of stuff going on out there. But again, let's talk about the websites where people can find out some more information and plug into there. Sheila?
Yes, please visit the Foundation for Leon County Schools and click on the Invest Now and look for the Two Regimes tab. You hit that tab, and there's all kinds of levels in which you can give, but every single dollar counts.
Okay, and Mimi Shaw, if anyone would want to maybe even enlist your instructional support in bringing some of these messages in a very entertaining way, they can get a hold of you too, right?
Oh, how sweet. Yeah, they can contact us at bjspartyhouse.com. That was nice and unexpected. And also you can go to tworegimes.com to see a lot of this information too. too.
Okay, and Dave Gusak, how do you see all this playing out here as more and more of these images become available, and Mimi and Kelly work here on the next set of manuscripts after we get the translating and all of that done?
I see it as essential of this continuing to expand. I mean, with Sheila's help and Mimi's energy and drive and tenacity, and let me underscore tenacity.
Kelly.
And Kelly's just been amazing. I see this expanding outside of the state and continuing to really become essential as part of the curriculum. It needs to be. Let's just end there.
Well, and as we see more and more contemporary examples of the run-up to one of the more horrific chapters in human history emerging, as you said, Mimi, from all over the planet right now, think, how could this happen? Bit by bit, drop by drop, and that's exactly the way it has to stop. And with that, we will stop. Dave Gusak, Mimi Shaw, Sheila Costigan.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And again, good luck on the project. I can't wait to see the final part of it. Thank you also to Sawyer Vanderwerth and Lydell Rawls, who've been doing it all today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week on Perspectives, Lynn Hatter takes the point, and we'll see you in a couple weeks right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.